Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to John 19. John 19. The Lord is standing by divine providence, by God's grace, by God's purpose. He's standing before Pilate. In a lengthy discussion with the Jews, between Pilate and the Jews, has taken place concerning the innocence that Pilate is arguing about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate's spoken to the Lord, and he says to these Jews that are crying for his death, he says, "I find no fault in him. I can't find anything that he's done to validate your demands for his death." Pilate's listened to his wife, advising him, don't have anything to do with this just man. Pilate, then in verse 12, and this is where I'm going to pick up, John 19, verse 12 to 16. But Pilate says, verse 12, "And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." How true are these words? Proverbs 29:25. "Truly, the fear of man bringeth a snare." Fear of man brings a snare. We read this scripture just a little while ago, Proverbs 29:25, "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Safe in this life and safe in the life to come. I know that. I know it. I know it for sure in my head. Lord, give me a heart to know this. I want to know this. I want to believe this. "Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." You know, these disciples, they saw him. They saw the Lord. John said, "We handled the word of life." Do you know, I've never seen the Lord. I've never seen the Lord. John said, "We heard him. We heard him. We heard him speak." I've never heard the Lord speak. I've had people tell me that the Lord appeared to me in my bedroom, stood at the foot of the bed, and I saw him. I've never seen him. I've never seen him. Well, you say, "Well, Marvin, what do you got then?" I've got his word. This is what I got. I've got the Word of God. And here's what the Word of God said: "Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord." You know what that means? That means not me, not you, putting our trust in ourselves. Whosoever puts his trust in the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in Jehovah, Father, Son, Spirit. I absolutely believe that God has an elect. I believe God has an elect. I believe that. I believe that Christ died for the sheep. You know why I believe that? Because the Lord said He did. You know why I believe that God has elect? Because God's Word says He's got an elect. I believe that God Almighty is going to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. I believe that. Why? Because God's Word says that. Word of God's not going to perish. Heaven and earth going to perish. But that Word is going to stand forever. Now, I know that's a fact. Lord, give me faith to believe that You chose me. Lord, would You give me faith to believe Christ died for me? That's all I got, Carl. That's all I got. I don't have anything else. The only thing I've got is God's Word. He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. But here's Pilate, and he's got a problem. The Scripture says Pilate, from that point, thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him and had the power to do it. Pilate was the governor. He was the governor there in Jerusalem. That was under Roman dominion. Pilate was the governor. And he had the power to release him. Now look at back at verse 10. Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou that I have power to crucify thee? I have power to release you." You realize who you're talking to? That's what he said. Lord said, "You don't have any power except it were given unto you from above, from my Father. You don't have any power. You think you have power." Well, verse 12, from that point, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "You let this man go, and you're not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Well, now, okay, Pilate's got a problem here. He's got a good job. He's a governor. Got a good income, I'm sure. Got a lot of clout. Got a lot of respect. You know, and if he lets this man go, because the Lord Jesus Christ, they said this man made himself a king. That's what they're talking about the Lord. He said he's the Son of God. He's the King of the Jews. You let this man go that claimed to be a king, then you're not a friend of Caesar. And now Pilate's thinking, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose it all. If I'm not a friend of Caesar, but what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, a believer knows that in Christ he has all things. He has all things of eternal significance. He has life. He got peace with God, communion with God. He has all things. Let me ask you this. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those that love Him. What do we possess being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ? What does that entail? I don't know. But I can tell you this, whatever it is, it's glorious. But eyes not seen, near heard, it's never entered into the heart of man. I can't even imagine what it is. But whatever it is, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We'll spend eternity with Christ. And here's a man now, and he's between a rock and a hard place, because he might lose his job. Might lose his position. And 13 and 14, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he said, "You go against Caesar. You're no friend of Caesar's if you let this man go." And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. The pressure is just too great. He's convinced, at least in his mind, that the Lord is innocent. He's convinced of that. And he's told him, I don't find any fault in him. I don't find any fault in him. But here's the example of a stony ground hearer. They'll admit, you know, they rejoice in the message. Pilate didn't find a problem with Christ. But buddy, when the heat got turned up, and all of a sudden his job was at stake, and maybe even his head. You know, you're going to go against Caesar? Well, your job may be the only thing, not the only thing you lose. You know, and I've got to think this through. It's just, you know, being accused of treason before Caesar? I don't know. I told you, I'd gone to preach at a little church here a few years ago, and immediately there was a problem, and there was a split, and I didn't preach anything there. It was that same little church that Tom Harding had lined up all the preachers, you remember, and gone over there and preached the gospel, and they had a meeting. They had a meeting after that, and there was some contention over the message. And one man stood up, they told me, and he said this. Now, he said, I don't find total fault in everything that was said concerning this sovereignty and stuff, but he said, it's not worth splitting a church over. Well, this is what Pilate said. I don't see any problem with the Lord. I don't find any fault with him. I don't see anything that he's done, but it's not worth losing everything over. It's not worth losing my job. And the scripture says he brought the Lord forth, verse 13, sat down in the judgment seat in the place that's called the pavement in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. It means a raised place. It was just a podium where judgment, the judge stood, and like a bench, an elevated bench. And this is where he was going to pass judgment. He had to make a decision. Now he's got to make a decision. He's got to do one of two things. He's either going to let the Lord go or he's not. That's what it's come down to. It's either release the Lord Jesus Christ and go against the Jews and Caesar, or turn him over to the Jews. It just wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. And let me tell you this. Write this down. A man or a woman that God gives a heart for the gospel of God's grace, to stand true to this gospel, to stand and say, I believe God. I believe God. I'm telling you the truth. It'll split families. It'll split marriages. It'll split. I'm telling you. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. It'll bust it up. He could not take it. He could not stand it. So he went to this place, and he was going to stand in judgment now over. He came to this elevated place. And it says in verse 14, it was the preparation of the Passover. It's the day before the Passover. The next day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to die. So here we are, it's about the sixth hour. Just about 24 hours before the Lord was going to lay down his life. And here's this man, and he's going to pass judgment on the Lord Jesus Christ the very one before whom he's going to stand in that day of judgment. Whatsoever a man sows, that's where it's going to reap. The Lord said, a man not with me, he's against me. I'm telling you, a man, a woman, stand up in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ and stand before the judge in that day, having resisted the Lord of glory. Here's Pilate now. He's trying to cover himself. I got to get out of this thing with some honor. Here's what was happening. I want you to hold your place right there and turn with me to Acts 4:26. Acts 4:26. Listen, I got to reading over. I was reading over my notes this morning, and I thought to myself, "What a horrible thought! For all men without Christ is horrible. They die in rebellion against God. But I want you to find some men's names that are listed in the Scripture." These men's names. These men that stood against the Lord. And I thought to myself, here is recorded in God's Word. This Word that's not going to ever be void. It's going to stand. Listen to this. 4:26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy Child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed. Listen to that. Think of what was just said. The Lord who raised up His Son, made flesh. When I say the only begotten, this is the only one that ever has come from the Father. God, man. And He's anointed Him the servant of Jehovah. Here's God in human flesh, made of a woman, made under the law, and for of a truth against Thy holy Child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, who stood up in rebellion against Him, Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they were gathered together. And I'm thinking to myself, that's recorded. Can you imagine Pilate right now? Scripture doesn't bear out that he was ever converted. The Lord knows. I don't know. But for all I know, he's in hell right now. And knows that scripture right there is written. And knows what awaits. And I think, oh, the horror of that. And so it was the preparation of the Passover about the sixth hour. And listen to this. And he saith unto the Jews, behold, your king. You know, Pilate, when he spoke those words, Scripture says he found no problem with the Lord. He found no fault with Him. But now, he may have said that out of contempt. He could have said it out of disappointment toward the Jews. But in the case of him speaking, I know this. The Spirit of God moved upon that man to speak those words. He said, you look at your king. He's the Lord. He's the king. He's the king. God made him so. He's the ruler. He's the boss. He rules and reigns. Pilate, without a doubt, was moved by the Spirit of God to bear witness to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His kingship. Behold, you look upon Him. Look on Him. He's the King who's going to render to every man according to that man's work, either in righteousness by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to them, or by their self-righteousness. But the King's going to deal with every man. And look at verse 15. But they cried, away with Him, away with Him, crucify Him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your King? And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Let me tell you something that was just so amazing about this. I want you to look in verse 15. Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Now I want you to look at that word king right there. You notice that it's capitalized? The chief priest answered, "We have no..." You see that little K? "But Caesar." Now I looked up those words. Those words are the same words. They're same words. Same word. I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. I thought, well, surely there's a difference. One of them's capitalized and one of them's not. Same word. Spirit of God moved upon that man to set forth. And I don't doubt for one second he had no idea the significance of what he was saying. But Spirit of God made Pilate proclaim, "This is your king. This is your king." And what they said, same word. This was what they thought of him. "We don't have a little K king, except Caesar." That was their attitude toward him. That was their thoughts. Shall I crucify your king? Do you desire him to die in the most painful and frightful execution? Yes. Yes. And listen to this. It was all according to God's purpose. That's what the Scripture says. Isaiah 50. They said, "We don't have a king. We don't have a lowercase king. The only king we've got is Caesar. That's our king." Isaiah 53:2. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not," as the capital K, king. I tell you, only a believer looks upon him as the capital K, the king. He's the king. He's the ruler. I'm the servant, he's the king. I'm the subject, he's the king. Oh, I tell you, Pilate's under the pressure he's going to have to answer Caesar, and they're saying, we don't have a king but Caesar. Caesar is our king. Oh, in the day of judgment. Let me ask you this. Is Caesar going to answer for you? Is a man's will, is that going to answer for you? Is the water of baptism going to answer for you? I'm telling you. We have one King, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King. I understand the world's desire to have Caesar. Something they can see, something they can feel, something they can touch, something that's real. Let me hold your place here as I look at Luke 23. Here's Luke's account of what happened here. Luke's account, Luke 23, verse 24, 25. Luke 23. Luke 23, 24, 25, "And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison." He let Barabbas go, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. He left them. The Lord left them to their own will. Lord, don't lead me to my will. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. Not my desires, Lord, but your word. And the Scripture says that Pilate delivered the Lord unto them to be crucified. But Pilate was the means He was the means of the will of the sovereign of the universe. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Scripture says, verse 16, "Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away." Now, in closing, I want you to notice the beauty of those last few words. They led him away. They didn't drive him. He went as a sheep to the slaughter. He went willingly. He went according to his will. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself." When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save His people from His sins. That call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. He shall save His people. For He shall save His people from their sins. Not going to try to do it. He shall save them from their sins. He had to die. And He laid down His life for His people. He let these men do just exactly what they wanted to do. And they will stand before God in judgment for their rebellion against God. And all the while, according to the eternal counsel of God Almighty, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, "You with wicked hands took and crucified." Oh, but by the grace of God, God gave some of them a heart, a new heart, on the day of Pentecost, and saved 3,000 of them. Many of them, I don't doubt for one second, that screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him." Let me tell you something. They weren't doing anything that every one of us hadn't done in our own heart before God called His people out of darkness. We did the same thing. Lord, bless the word to our heart. Cause us to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and His willingness to suffer, putting away the debt owed to God's law in His own body. Put it away. Atoned. Covered it. Covered it over. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you.